Welcome, everyone, to the Workforce Navigator podcast. I'm Steve McDonald, your host. And we have a very interesting guest and topic today. We have on Mary Miller-Decker of Fashion File, and you are the SVP of Human Resources there. And here's what I like about what we're going to be talking about today, because we're actually going to be talking about how personal fulfillment can drive corporate success. I think we're all starting to think in our heads right now about how that makes a lot of sense, but you're going to articulate this in a way that I think even a lot of HR professionals haven't. And I like the way that you think about this. And even since the day that you and I met, I've actually, through some of the interviews that I've done, had huge validation of the direction that you're going to talk about here. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. What I'd love to do is I'd love to turn it over to you and talk to us a little bit more about your background and then introduce this topic that we're going to get on today.
Wonderful. Thanks, Steve. I'm really glad to be here. I appreciate you asking me. Excited to share about this topic. Super passionate about it. A little bit about my background. I am currently the SVP of HR with Fashion File, a re-commerce company based in California. And I'm about 25 years in the HR space in leadership roles. I love HR for all the reasons many of us who do this work do. I love finding the potential in people. To that end, I've had my own coaching practice for the last several years as well. And I love helping people find fulfillment. This journey for me around helping people find personal fulfillment really was a personal journey that started. So often from need comes a new idea. And that's actually what happened for me about maybe it's 2017, 7, 8 years ago. I realized that although I loved my job and I was outwardly successful with it, I really had lost the connection and the fulfillment that I enjoyed about my role for so many years. And I decided to take a sabbatical. Thankfully, my employer at the time offered me that flexibility. And I traveled for 4 months. I saw amazing things, checked things off my bucket list, things that I'm so grateful to be able to have done. And what I realized was that sense of disengagement that I was experiencing felt a little like a just treadmill. Every day you wake up, you do the next thing. Even amongst this adventure that I was on for several months, even that adventure felt a little bit like a treadmill. And what I started to ponder for myself is how much of what I'm experiencing is an outward experience, meaning things outside of me are impacting me, and how much of this is an internal conversation and how I'm choosing to show up every day. That element of self-leadership that leads to fulfillment. When I came back from that sabbatical, I really doubled down to better understand myself, my values, what drives me, things that I would hope that I had learned earlier, to be honest. But I had been so focused on delivering results and the things that I was doing. I hadn't spent a lot of time as a leader developing who I wanted to be and really fulfilling that side of my beingness as part of my role. And so I learned that there were a lot of skills I hadn't developed around reframing and gratitude and solutions orientation as it results to personal problems. So more of a fixed mindset around my capabilities to grow and change, some of those things. I found that being able to develop those skills really drove an entirely different engagement as I came back to the same job, the same boss, the same company, the same routine. Nothing outside of me had really changed, but internal to myself, I was experiencing all of that with a very new lens and had truly transformed from what it felt like from the inside to have an entirely different experience. And one that allowed me to be a lot more engaged, to stay at a company for multiple years longer than I intended to while on a sabbatical or thought I would leading into that. And it really led me to recognize that if this is true for me, it's probably true for a lot of employees. And if I had some of these skills earlier in career, how that might have helped me in a variety of ways over the years. So that is what led to me focusing on personal fulfillment or seeing it as a business opportunity or an impactful business investment with my own personal journey into personal fulfillment.
So this is where I think, you know, as HR professionals, we definitely have to focus on, you know, the recruitment side. We have to focus on the workforce management side and make sure that people are engaged and happy. We're not turning over. That's one of the highest costs, not only financially to a business, but in terms of the loss, in terms of the skill sets that are there from the employees that have been there. And the last thing we want to do is lose really good employees if we have an opportunity to re-engage them. And so this is what's so important. You've got a whole new re-engagement strategy, this personal fulfillment, the focus on that from the company side and what that does to their engagement and then therefore their tenure in the organization. Tell us a little bit about your program and your philosophy, your thinking about this.
Yeah, thank you. So the equation is essentially personal fulfillment drives personal engagement in my general life. We bring our full selves to work. That's not necessarily a new concept, but the idea that my personal fulfillment drives my personal engagement and my personal engagement is a common denominator, a necessity for me to be engaged at work. My personal engagement doesn't necessarily mean I for sure will be engaged at work, but the opposite is definitely true. If I'm not engaged in my life, I don't personally believe that it's possible to be engaged at work. We bring our whole self to work. So if disengagement exists on one side, it definitely exists on the other side. Focusing on just engaging a person at work, which is a lot of what the last 20, 30 years of engagement practices within the HR space have been focused on. It's been focused on how do I help you know that we care about your job and your skill and develop you to move to the next level and a lot of those elements, which are relevant and useful. But I really believe that doubling down on the personal engagement is really going to drive more company engagement or professional engagement. And I believe that's final end to the equation is that professional engagement has been known for 30 years as an accepted premise that engagement at work will drive better bottom line results in any business, in any industry, any size, going through change, et cetera. Finding that new way to engage people by focusing on the full person and their engagement outside of work is really the new idea.
And within this idea, what are the responsibilities of the company? What are the things that the company needs to be thinking about and doing differently?
Yeah, it's an interesting idea because initially it can feel, and I even had some feedback with executives within my own organization when I was bringing this premise forward to think through, doesn't it feel like we're abdicating the responsibility back to the individual to deal with themselves kind of thing? And there is a responsibility from the perspective of the employer to show up in certain ways. We need to give you a safe workplace. We need to give you solid benefits and we want to give you opportunities for growth and be trusted and challenge you and all the things, a fair wage. Those are all things that an employer still needs to come to the table with. But in my opinion, those are not differentiators any longer in a really aggressive talent market. Those don't differentiate you. Everybody's bringing those sort of table stakes to the table. So the question isn't saying that we're not going to do that. We still need to do all those things. But where we look to increase our opportunity to retain and or attract, I'm offering the newer idea that personal fulfillment can be another layer that we add on to those company expectations that just gives you a differentiated benefit and drives some allegiance from the individuals to the company.
And ultimately, so this is a win for both sides. If you have personal development, obviously that's going to help the individual. But tell us a little bit about how this translates into what you call workforce contribution. How does the company benefit from this?
I think in a couple of ways, there's that first premise that the second half of the equation, engagement equals business results. That's something that's existed for a long time. Not necessarily an expert in that place outside of acknowledging that most people would understand that the more engaged a person is in their work, the better results you're going to get, which will drive better business outcomes. So that piece is known. The part to me that I think is the unexpected add-on for businesses is when we as an employer step in to support an individual's personal development, let alone hold their hand during a really difficult time, maybe provide some coaching that enables them to see an external outside of work, whether it's personal relationship, family member who's ill, whatever the circumstances might be. When we can step in and help them find new solutions that allow them to feel heard and seen and cared for, that's ultimately going to create a level of allegiance that you can't buy. My experience is going to be so different. And you solved a problem for me that, or helped me solve a problem for myself. I had no idea what to do with, was feeling overwhelmed by and distracted from my work by and all of those things. And now I can show up even better for you. It's the gratitude in response to that really can't be measured in my experience. It's now, really important.
What's interesting is you actually rolled out a program to do this, and then you actually surveyed employees after that to get the responses. Tell us a little bit about the program that you rolled out, and then when we understand that, what the results were from the employees' perspective.
Yeah. So this actually coincidentally timed with most of our workforce being remote during COVID. So we developed this program for my employer back in 2020 and rolled out late 2020 through 2021. We rolled it out globally, so not just in the States, but in the States. We had remote workforce in India and Costa Rica and Canada and the UK. So a lot of different players got to experience this globally. And the program itself started with a roadshow from me, believing that there was a premise here, but needing to prove out that it would work. So what I did was go out on my own research and in my own personal development journey, cherry pick my favorite new techniques and skills to help reframe, to help, again, at any given time, many things are true. Choose the one that serves you. What are the skills to be able to do that, to feel empowered rather than victimized by your external circumstances, et cetera? I chose some of my favorite tools. I built an hour and a half sort of roadshow, a lunch and learn, and people got to opt in. I went to call centers from entry-level call center employees up to corporate employees. And I think my groups were probably about 50 a piece for these lunch and learns, which honestly was a great response just in and of itself to the topic when people get to self-select into spending time on training in general. And what we covered was those skills. It was a very engaging discussion, a lot of aha moments, and people just walking out with a much more uplifted energy in general, feeling a little bit more empowered. At the end of it, we offered a survey that asked a handful of questions. And I was so surprised consistently, regardless of location, type of employee, it consistently three questions were answered at 100%, which is unheard of in a training context. There's always going to be a naysayer. So 100% of people who attended these 90-minute sessions answered that it was a valuable use of their time, that they felt that it would help them be more effective at work, and that they felt it would help them be happier and more engaged at work and at home. It really just proved out the premise that people really appreciated the investment in them as individuals and allowing them to develop some life skills that would really transcend the specific job or skill needed for a specific job. Yeah, it was a really resounding result. And based on that, we built out a business case that developed into an 8-hour program, 4 sessions, 2 hours each, with a lot of introspection around developing your values and really understanding your own motivators, understanding how our physical health impacts our mental health, and just a lot of different things through research that we looked into and built our own program. A lot of really good results and feedback based on that overall program too.
So. And do you have any examples or stories where we can talk about, and you don't have to name the individual, but
sure,
an individual where there was some effort on the company to help them on a personal level, personal fulfillment, and how that affected their allegiance, their engagement? Do you have anything like that you could share with us?
Yeah, I have a couple. I have a few examples. One that's top of mind is someone who actually was on my team, who had been a really strong performer for me over several years. And she, I wouldn't say she wasn't performing. She just didn't seem herself. And despite me checking in with her, as I normally would in one-on-ones and a variety of things, it ultimately started to take a toll on her ability to perform her job. So when it got to the point of needing to say, hey, this feels like it took a turn. And I know that as your employer, I've inquired what's happening and how can I help you? But she's a very self-sufficient, self-led individual and didn't really want my help, to be honest. She felt like she could handle it herself. But when I got to that point and I got her to open up, she shared with me that she actually had a couple of pretty tragic things happen within her immediate family, with her brother being in a car accident and suffering from a significant TBI that the entire family was trying to rally around and support. Almost at the same time, her father was diagnosed with cancer and needed to immediately start treatment. Her family's on the East Coast. She's here on the West Coast. So she wasn't functionally present, really, to be able to help her mom, who was dealing with a lot of the stress of handling both of these situations, and ultimately felt really disempowered to fix it, help it, anything. And that emotional turmoil really started to affect her sleep. It started to affect her mindset. And it just became a very significant distraction, understandably so. I'm not judging that at all. I think the first thing is, as an employer, again, we need to create a safe space where people know that they can open up to us and that there's some established trust in the environment to be able to speak our needs. That is an expectation. That's not a differentiator. That's just what we need to do. But when she was able to open up to me, we talked through what she had already tried and considered. And there were definitely some fixed mindsets in there about her opportunities, her willingness to ask for help, some perfectionist elements in there. She didn't want to be seen as not able to handle everything herself. And that can show up in a lot of different ways. In her case, We talked about it. We were able to shift some workload items. We were able to allow her to work remote for a couple of months to support her family and a handful of other tactics that we took with her to make the process more manageable, including a little bit of additional time off. And she never would have asked for any of that. And she quite possibly could have devolved into a performance challenge over the next several months had she not been willing to open up to me and or been willing to consider some of the other skills or opportunities that she could develop. It wasn't just that the organization was willing to help her from a flexibility perspective. That was true. Again, not really a differentiator, but doubling down and supporting her with some coaching around how she was managing the situation from an emotional perspective for herself, her willingness to ask for help, her perception of failure for herself, the fact that someone else on her team had to take on some of her workload for a few months. There was a lot in there that she was able to experience in a much more, I believe, empowered way because of the additional skills that we helped her develop as a person, not necessarily skills for her role in particular. And that really is the premise of what I'm sharing. Developing the person, all boats rise with the tide. When you develop the person, everything lifts when it comes to the skills they bring to the table. So that's a great example that I feel really good about. And she is re-engaged. Thankfully, both of her family members are well. This is a couple years ago now. And she's one of the first examples where I really understood that intrinsic benefit that's there. The investment in the individual and that unique differentiator, how much that helps the person feel cared about, and the amount of allegiance it draws back to the organization to say, you've had my back when I needed you. You've helped me do something I didn't know I could do. And I'm going to reciprocate. I'm going to show up and I'm going to have your back when you need me to have it. That relationship is really deepened in my experience when we can help people develop personally.
Those are typically relationships that we understand on a personal level, whether it was an aunt that poured into us, a friend that poured into us in a time of need, and the allegiance and I've got your back. We don't typically equate that with what's going on inside of the workplace. And what I liked about that was it was a clear example how you could see something going on negative in her personal life would absolutely transition over and could negatively impact her in the workplace.
Absolutely.
So yeah. This is proactively addressing that. I think you said you had a second example. Is that right?
Yeah, I do. This one has some similar tenets to the one I just shared, but it wasn't someone directly on my team. It was an executive business leader who had been doing really well, had been with the organization in a very specialized skill set for some time. And we had invested in his development in a variety of ways, including a one-on-one coach, mostly to help him support his executive presence and some of the outward behaviors that would help him move up his presentation skills, his direct communication skills, a few things like that nuanced support would help him. At an executive level, it's more common today to invest in that development of an individual. I don't think we see programs as broad to all employees, which is the premise here, again, being a differentiator from what a lot of people offer to what do we offer. But in this particular case, it was an executive who had some support from a coach, but we hadn't noticed a lot of difference necessarily in his performance. And the coach even said that he was slightly disengaged from the sessions. And so that's when I got involved and was able to chat a little bit more. He and his team, I chatted with him a little bit more about the coaching engagement, what was happening, if he was finding benefit in it. But we were still focused on the demonstrative symptoms in the workplace that the business was trying to solve by helping him with the coach. And ultimately, what I learned in that conversation was what a lot of coaches would understand today, too, is that what's actually driving that behavior is something entirely different. They were internal perspectives. It was definitely how he perceived himself as part of the broader leadership team, a little bit of imposter syndrome. There was a few things in there. But on top of that was a significant issue with a teen at home who was truant from school and maybe not going to make it to college and was creating so many things in his life about his own personal worthiness. As a parent, my child might not graduate from high school. What does this mean? It was taking so much energy and he didn't feel like he was in a place where he could broach the coaching relationship in such a way to use company resources to deal with his personal issue. But ultimately, his personal issue of how does my child's success or not reflect on me was a very similar core issue to the things that were preventing him from showing up in the leadership team in the same way. It was How does my team reflect? What sort of defensiveness and protection do I have to have? How forthcoming can I be with issues in my group so that I'm showing up authentically? Some of the core issues were actually this personal development piece was going to drive both personal and professional fulfillment in an entirely different way. But we don't always see that even in the executives where we are investing in this one-on-one coaching, they don't necessarily broach that line to say, I'm going to use the company's resources to invest in myself. It's still not necessarily a fully accepted premise. And with this individual, the outcome was that he was able to work with his coach and had such a great experience that he actually provided some input to our happiness program that we ended up developing and rolling out to all employees. And he was first to sign up his team to who all were having. We were having some opportunities to make it a more high performing team. And so he was first to sign his team up and really help them. And it was resoundingly well received. And I think really helped position him both within the leadership team as a sponsor, but more importantly for himself to manage things at home a little differently. I think that created a lot of allegiance. And at the time, he was not sure he'd been there some time, how much career runway he still had with the organization. And he's still there today, years later. I personally believe, partially at least, based on the fact that he really felt like we showed up for him in a way that made a demonstrative impact on his life, not necessarily on his job.
As I hear you talk about this, I never would have expected that I would have actually had a validation for what you're talking about here. But I literally, in an hour ago, was on the phone with a CEO in this very successful number of exits. I think he said a company has $24 million in revenue now. Recently exited a couple of years ago from a company he grew from zero to 53 million. Whole conversation was about how you develop high performance teams. And the number one thing that he focused on is you have to understand the underlying issues and motivations of those team members. Exactly what you're talking about here.
Every HR leader's dream to have a CEO that's connected to that story. That's beautiful.
Absolutely. Awesome. The topic was how to develop high performance teams. And I thought we were going to get into a lot of other topics. And this was all we talked about for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And the results that he sees in breaking down barriers from what they bring on the personal side that's going to get in the way of their engagement, but also what it brought in terms of breaking down the barriers between other individuals as well.
Yes.
Getting engagement and collaboration and breaking down those silos and things, because he also helped others see maybe where another person was coming from and get better understanding from one team member to another.
Yeah, it's an interesting premise. And I'm so glad that he's aligned to that too. What it reminds me of and what you just shared is that we bring our full selves to work. And the reason why engagement at work is impacted by personal engagement and fulfillment is very obvious, but we also bring our full selves to every relationship. So I can't just leave all my baggage at the door and come to a relationship with a colleague. It's almost more complex because we're both coming at it with all of our own idiosyncrasies. And getting underneath those is really what drives transformational change, in my opinion. So it's never surface.
Yeah. And we've all heard lots of terms like, we need good work-life balance. And why? Because if we're happier outside of work, we're going to be happier in work, everything you're talking about here. I'm just taking this to a whole new level. So what haven't we talked about yet that is part of your philosophy, part of what you want to make sure that everybody understands and knows here?
Yeah, I guess I would love to just double-click on that thought of work-life balance, because I think this aligns to the concept too, that we are whole people. We bring our full selves to work. I don't leave a part of myself at the door. It's just not possible. And I think the truest with balance, there is no point, especially in this remote integrated world where I'm flowing constantly between working and not working. And the more I can allow that to be malleable and flexible so that it can integrate in my life in a way that I get to experience my work as a thing that I love, that supports my life, that allows me to do the things in my life that truly fulfill me. Most of us don't have the blessing of our career being the thing that we grow up thinking we're going to be a rock star and play drums on a stage. And ultimately, I might need to do a job to make the money to play in my house band on Saturdays with friends. Like, we don't always get to fulfill that big dream that we had. And I think seeing work as a thing that supports us in a variety of ways and can truly integrate and be malleable is a next step in personal fulfillment. It being a thing that I have to work and then I get to live my life. Whether those are balanced in the right proportions is a question from the last 10 or 15 years. And I feel like the new question is, it's not about proportions, but about feeling really empowered and fulfilled in both of those spaces so that I no longer feel a delineation. And on a week where I can put in 35 hours or a week where I need to put in 60, my life is going to flow around me to be able to make those things possible and to feel really good about both of them. That's the personal development that's needed to get people to a new experience rather than it's a balance or a proportion. I don't know. Now, is this a double click that seems relevant?
You've taken work-life balance to, like I said, a whole nother level, because I think what an employee would expect is that means flex hours, like you're saying, sure. Like the typical things, the summer Friday programs, we're going to let you be remote part of the time. But we don't expect our workplace to take a genuine interest in our emotional well-being. All the stories that you shared there had deep emotional connections for the employee that they were dealing with. And we all know that if we're very distracted and some of the things that, like, something happens to our kids, parents are now in the hospital or brother had a car accident, somebody got diagnosed with cancer, those rip out our ability to focus and pay attention at the most deep level. So I love that you do this. And here's what I love you to do is, what's your message to senior management that has to, okay, this kind of a program has to be bought in, on board. What is your message to them that they should be thinking about if they're going to try to maybe adopt a program like this?
That's a great question. I think it might be easy to dismiss some of these ideas as being softer business resulting ideas because they're HR people oriented things. But I think the CEO that you spoke with, he definitely sees that the individual internal dynamics definitely outwardly affect every team and performance within a business. It is, I believe, an absolute truth. So as a business, if we can invest in the individual, we can, again, lift all boats with the tide. Every individual that we can lift up to experience themselves differently, experience their coworkers differently, experience their life outside of work in a newly empowered way, which has everything to do with personal fulfillment and personal development, that is where we can add a differentiation to the competitiveness of attracting and retaining talent as an employer. The things we would otherwise do are what everyone else is doing. So let's double down on something that creates an emotional connection to the company, that really creates gratitude and appreciation for having helped them solve a difficult emotional situation that allows them to experience much more happiness and fulfillment at work and outside of work. That connection will pay dividends in the long run.
And to add to that, just from a conversation with the CEO and the way that he thinks about it, he was talking about how literally I can have the best product. I can have the best tech. I can have the best service. If I don't have the right team that's engaged and collaborating and working together, that doesn't matter. I have been in places where drama and strife and issues amongst the team, personally and between themselves, have absolutely been the reason why the company didn't succeed. That's when I have to go in, he says, and do the hard work and change out people, even in senior leadership. But the most important thing he said I can do as a CEO is show you I understand and I have your back. And I'm here to support you. Those are all things that are takeaways from your program.
Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree. Yes.
I would normally ask a question in this kind of situation. What are you most proud of in your career? You've just talked about for the last half hour.
Yeah, you definitely tapped into what I'm most passionate about. That's for sure. I would say as an individual, I'm always most proud of my teams. But within that is helping my teams feel empowered and develop them as humans, to be able to do things I didn't know they could do and to see new perspectives and to really challenge themselves. So the application of a lot of these things to my team members is probably the thing I'm most proud of. But this is definitely what I'm most passionate about because I genuinely believe in the bottom line impact for really any organization in any industry.
If anyone, any other HR professional, senior leadership, in the organization has questions, would it be appropriate that maybe we gave out your link to your LinkedIn profile that people could get a hold of you?
I would love that. I would love to have a conversation about this with anyone who's interested. Something I'm incredibly passionate about. And if I can offer a lesson learned or an opportunity or a step forward that impacts people positively, that would be what I'm most proud of.
Mary, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on, sharing these ideas. You are part of the tide that lifts all boats. So I'll take your phrase there. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for that. Yeah, thank you, Steve. I really appreciate the time. Thanks for having me.